Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord God, you have declared that your kingdom is among us, and as Eliana preaches your word, open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, and our hands to serve it. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the good news. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Excuse me. Pardon me. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those are some powerful words. Okay. Our passage this morning is the last of the I am statements in the Gospel of John. And each I am statement that has been uttered by Jesus, I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the resurrection and life, the way, the truth, and the life, each of these statements that he has said has been perceived as blasphemous and radical. Here is this young man evoking the name of Yahweh, the great I am. And this last image of Jesus as a vine is a particularly insightful one, I believe, in these days post-Easter Sunday and leading up to Pentecost, a time when we can consider who we are in relation to the resurrected Christ and who we are as resurrection people. And Jesus uses a well-known image, one that all of his listeners would have known because they'd heard it so often in the Old Testament, that image of the vineyard. He uses this image to show the interconnectedness of our relationship with him and with God. God, the grower, Jesus, the vine, and we, the branches. And all three essential for the vineyard, and all three essential for community. Jesus is giving final instructions. He knows his time is short, and he needs to not only give his followers assurances, but he's challenging them as well. It's almost as if he were asking them the question, and so now, how shall you live after I'm gone? Our gospel writer places this story, the story of the vine and branches, right after Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper, and right before Jesus gives his farewell prayer. So Jesus has just broken bread with his followers. He's washed their feet, exemplifying service and servanthood born out of love and devotion. And now soon he will begin that agonizing time of leaving this world. John uses this imagery of vine and branches to help and to challenge that early Christian community and us as well. But you see, in this metaphor, John is urging us to claim an intimate and close relationship with Jesus. Now, I know there are some of you out there who are avid gardeners, and those of you who know me know that I am the world's worst gardener. I am known for having black thumbs. But even I have had the ability to notice how a grapevine looks and works. If you look at it closely, you'll notice that the branches are entwined, wrapping themselves around each other in intricate patterns, tight, tight little curls that make it practically impossible to know where one branch starts and the other one ends. This is more than intricacy. This is intimacy. The vine shares with the branches the nutrients to sustain it, the life force of that entire plant. The vine has become one with the branches. Now, whether or not you have ever physically borne a child, if you have ever loved or cared for a child, you know that all-consuming love and care that envelops you and that little person. It's the one where your pangs of hunger become indistinguishable from theirs, where their cries from going to the doctor's office for immunizations make tears spring up in your eyes. You become one with the child, and this is intimacy and the most radical of loves. Now, John is not interested in the various gifts that these branches have in the vineyard. The Apostle Paul will take care of that later on when he writes to the town of Corinth. Rather, John makes no celebration of individualism, something that is a really alien thing to us as Westerners because we value individuality and self-expression so highly. John, on the other hand, is vastly more interested in the wholeness of the faithful community. He's interested in how it loves, and much less interested on who are its members. John encourages us to stay close to Christ, to abide in him. Now, Fred Craddock, the biblical scholar, calls the word abide the central verb in this passage. And he goes on to write, it's one of the most significant words in the entire gospel. And Eugene Peterson, in his Bible translation, The Message, translates abide in verse 4 a little differently, but with the very same meaning. He says, live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. Live in me. Just as we need the air to breathe and we need food and nourishment to live, we need shelter and community. We need an emotional home. The early Christians who had in a very, very real sense lost their spiritual homes and perhaps with them their family ties and their physical homes as well were undoubtedly comforted by this thought. But what about you and me, Pacific Northwesterners in the 21st century? I would hazard a guess that we too hunger for community. We want a place to be known and to know others. A place where we can call others loved ones. A place where interconnectedness exists, where together we draw strength and hope from one another. Making our home in Jesus Christ brings a settled peace to the turmoil that often punctuates our lives. It's the map that refocuses us on the journey for which we were created. Jesus joins in with each one of us in our suffering and in our struggles. I tell you, this is the good news. The great I am, the Yahweh, the God of Abraham and Moses, is with each one of us, and we in turn are grafted to the vine, to Jesus Christ. Rooting ourselves in Christ, as John calls us to do, is God's way of drawing us near, like the cradled child is in the arms of a beloved adult. But this is not a private spirituality. And this is something that my generation has struggled with. Jesus is calling us to a corporate spirituality, one of community. Now, it's certainly easier to pursue spirituality as an individual, to develop a private spiritual life. But the true vine, the true people of God, are called to live into a spirituality that is costly and, yes, very messy in companionship with others. Abiding in Christ is then being part of the community, of the church in its corporate prayer life, worship, mission, and ministry. Many times this takes place within the walls of the physical church structure. Sometimes it happens out in the street. I recently returned from Washington, D.C., attending the Human Rights Campaign Clergy Call, and I heard a lot of inspiring speakers. But there was one in particular that struck me, a gentleman by the name of Bern Strider, a man from Mississippi who has served as the senior advisor and director of faith outreach for the U.S. Senate. Now, I wish I could tell you the story the way he did with his Mississippi Southern drawl, but you'll have to pretend because I can't fake it. But he told this story of God walking down a street one day in a small town. And the God noticed there was a man sitting on the steps of a church. This was an African-American man, and he was holding his face in his hands, and he was gently weeping. So God sat next to him and asked him what was the matter. The man replied, "Lord, I've been trying to get into this place for the past 40 years, and they still won't let me in." God tenderly put his arm around the man and replied, "I know the feeling, son. I've been trying to get in for the past 2,000 years. God will meet us where we need to be met. And the Christian life begins in love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And it's also carried out in love, that you will love one another." And what will come from all this? Our rootedness in Christ is our solidarity with one another, staying true to the real vine, the source of love and strength and hope. And it's from this that we begin to see the inklings, the birth of fruit being produced. When we abide in Christ, when we live in Christ, it's impossible not to bear fruit, because to abide in Christ is to love in a way that is radical and extravagant. It is to love like no other, with the exception of Christ himself. The community that God is calling us to be is one that embodies the African proverb, "Because we are, I am." Our discipleship, our participation in this vineyard, is our willingness to do works for the right reasons, simply and purely for love. Now, sounds easy, but it's a very uncomfortable and can be a very unpopular stance. Jesus was certainly seen as a radical because of this love, and Paul was viewed suspiciously when he chose to baptize uncircumcised Gentiles. Martin Luther went on to initiate the Reformation movement. The Anabaptists spoke out against state-sanctioned violence, such as war. And the anti-slavery movement, who stood up against their own denominational leaders, saying no to the inhuman treatment of God's children at a time when that was a very unpopular stance to take. So we have to ask ourselves, who are the prophets today who speak out for the voiceless, for the undocumented, for the disabled, the unwelcomed, the poor? Who will speak out in love, seeking to enfold them all into the vineyard, abiding in Christ's radical openness, inviting them to become intertwined with our own branches, soaking up the love of Jesus, growing, learning, worshiping side by side with each one of us? You see, those intertwining branches, those tender curling sprigs that wrap around each other, are indistinguishable from each other. It doesn't matter where they came from, how they got there. The fact that they are there, that they are now part of the vine, is what counts. They are now drawing strength and sustenance from the same source, Jesus Christ, and because of it, are now producing rich fruit. Our challenge, then, is to stay connected. But isn't it interesting that we humans are so much more concerned and involved with the pruning of these branches than our connectedness with each other? We want so badly to be the gardeners. We have a picture in our mind of what that vineyard's supposed to look like. So we go out there with shears, looking to be the quality control inspectors. We eye a branch. Do you fit? Will you be fruitful? Or shall I just cut you off? We are not the grower. Thanks be to God. That is God's business. Jesus plainly tells us that the grower will prune. We are charged simply and purely to abide. What needs to be done, we need to do together, abiding in Christ. We need to abide in Christ and abide in one another, to live in Christ and live with each other. Because if we are willing to abide, we stand for justice and against oppression. When we abide, we value individuals on the content of their character and not the color of their skin, the language they speak, who they choose to love, or their gender. When we abide, we seek equal opportunities for education, healthcare, and sustainable resources for all people, regardless of their zip code or their nation status as being developed or not. When we abide in Christ, each time we see pain or hurt inflicted on others, it wounds us personally to the core. We must abide in Christ, because without this rootedness, we become orphans. Jesus calls to you and to me, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words in you, you will bear much fruit and become my disciples. William Sloan Coffin wrote, I am, not because I think, but because I love and love fully. Staying close to Jesus will give us the peace and strength required for the labor of love that awaits us in this journey of life. We need to remind each other to abide and to live into this reality. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are a gardener who looks lovingly over the vineyard and invites us to rest in the knowledge that all we need to do is remain rooted in you and reach out our branches to others. Help us to remember. Help us to love. Amen.